Please stand by. Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, How to Uncover Reusable Systems Z Assets and Then Manage Their Use. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn how our suite of Rational and WebSphere solutions can help reduce costs and speed asset reuse by assisting IT personnel with the extension, reuse, and transformation of existing mainframe and web applications. The speaker for today's program is Rajesh G. Deswani, Rational Product Line Manager, IBM Software Group. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Deswani. Please go ahead, sir.
Right, thanks. Hi, everyone. My name is Raj Deswani, and I'm the Product Line Manager for a couple of products within the IBM's Enterprise Modernization Suite. It's Rational Asset Analyzer and Rational Transformation Workbench. Today, I'm going to talk to you about how to discover System Z assets that you have that that you may or may not be aware of, and really find a way to manage their use, govern them, create services out of them, transform them into services, and sort of how to manage that process, sort of give you a roadmap of how you would go about doing something like that. So first, on chart two, I'll take you through the challenge that a lot of our customers are currently facing today, and some of these you will probably be familiar with as well. Then I'm going to take you through parts of the solution, and there are four products that really play a critical role in here. There is Rational Asset Analyzer, Rational Asset Manager, Rational Developer for System Z, and finally, Rational Transformation Workbench. Once I've given you an overview of all these different parts, I'll sort of tell you how to put it all together, how they come together and provide a good synergy and solve a lot of these issues that come up. And then finally, I'll end with some resources, some links that you can follow to get some more information. Well, let's get right into it. Let's start with challenge one on chart three. No inventory of current assets. And this is a huge issue for a lot of our customers who have been, who have systems currently in production that have been developed over, 20, 30, 40 years, some of them as well. And so it's very difficult to really keep track of what you already have. So there is the absence of asset inventory, and so if you don't know what you have, you don't know what you can reuse, for example, as a service. It's very difficult to gauge the impact of code changes because, once again, if you don't know what you have, if I change something here, how is something else within the enterprise going to change? It's very difficult to gauge that impact today. In a lot of these systems, the UI code, the user interface code, the data access code, and the business logic, the business rules are all intertwined, and it's very, very difficult to separate those business rules from the code. And then once that becomes an issue, it's very difficult to be flexible and respond to changes very quickly. So one of the main things that over here I've called out at the bottom is that analyst studies have found that it's five times less expensive to reuse existing assets than to rewrite new applications. So that's a huge cost savings just in finding the inventory that you have and then reusing it. Going to the next chart, that's chart number four, challenge number two, islands of development. And I've talked with numerous customers where we have these silos, these two different islands, one for distributed development, be it Java or Microsoft, and you have another island that's the enterprise development that's mainly mainframe-centric. And these two don't talk. In fact, in one case, I actually came across the Java programmers had no idea that there were some COBOL programmers within the same company. So that really, really calls out the fact that these are two islands, they don't talk. There are a lot of issues with that. One of them is you have to maintain duplicate infrastructures. So you don't have as much flexibility in the skills because they're both siloed in what they're doing. Secondly, you end up introducing a lot of errors because if a system if a change is made on the distributed side and the enterprise, the host side, the mainframe side doesn't know about it, guess when that problem is going to get caught? It's usually during production and when the customer calls in saying that something isn't working. And unfortunately, that's what we see in a lot of cases. It's either that or these issues are caught very late in the development cycle, which could be during system test, which really is kind of late in the cycle to be making changes, sweeping changes this way. Multiple infrastructures, just because you're maintaining the distributed infrastructure and the enterprise infrastructure, you're essentially doubling the cost. And it's not just the infrastructures, it's also the processes that may have to be duplicated. And so there is a lot of overhead with managing these two disparate areas. And finally, one huge, and then this is the thing that I touched on, is the lack of traceability, is when one piece of code changes on the distributed side, how does that impact the enterprise side? And how do you really develop a process, a governance process, to manage those changes? The next challenge number three, is the lack of governance and reuse. And I think this sums up really well what we've talked about in the last couple of charts. There is really a lack of architectural governance, and because you have these different groups of people working on different areas of the code, it's layers of disjointed, poorly managed software assets. And especially also given in our globalized environment, contributors are everywhere. You can have people working in India, in China, in Brazil, and some in the U.S. And they all have diverse skills, diverse roles, and so communication is key here. And there are all these other, you know, there is the IP, the intellectual property, and regulatory mandates that are making things more complex. And there are a lot of miscommunications between business and IT that really make it hard to become flexible and respond to changes in business and compliance requests very quickly and turn it around quickly. So now we'll talk about parts of the solution. So I'll give you an overview of each of these products, and then I'll put it all together and see how they together really solve these challenges. So going to chart number seven, Rational Asset Analyzer version 5.5. This is a product that is brand new. It just came out, and so I'll give you a little overview on what it does. So what is Rational Asset Analyzer? It's basically a technology that scans both mainframe and distributed software assets, which reside on a Windows server, and it calculates metrics and counts, and identifies relationships. And all this information that's gathered is stored on a DB2 database, also running on Windows. So there are a couple of components here. You have the source scanners that run on Windows. You have the repository that stores all the information that's been gathered on the DB2 database that also resides on Windows. And then you have web applications that run on Windows on the WebSphere application server to surface all the information in a web browser for all different users, whether they're business analysts, systems analysts, developers, testers, or project managers. So it has a wealth of information that can be used by all these different roles. In the next few charts, I'll sort of take you through some of the features and what their benefits are. So chart 8, talking about counts and metrics. So the first thing that we talked about earlier as well is getting an inventory of what you have. So this goes directly to that. And it helps you gain control of your assets and really know what you have. A few key points here. One, it helps you identify the breadth of technologies. How much Java do I have? How much COBOL do I have? Do I have any J2EE assets? And that helps you also define your resources. Do I have the resources aligned? If a greater percentage is on my mainframe assets that I'm still using in production, do my resources really align with that? So do I have the right skills, or am I going to get into trouble because I don't have enough mainframe expertise, but then 75% of my code is on the mainframe? So it sort of helps you identify those areas of concern. The next thing is quality and complexity of your assets. Especially for COBOL, we provide metrics such as the cyclomatic complexity, the essential complexity, the Halstead effort, sort of to gauge how good the code is and how easy or difficult it is to maintain. We also have the errors view, and generally you wouldn't think of this as an important feature, but it is, because it really helps you identify any missing resources within your inventory. And in a lot of cases, you need to really know where all your sources are to bring them in and make sure you have a complete inventory. Now, there may be times where you can't get that error rate to zero, and in fact, in a lot of our enterprise-level customers, they don't. And the key over here is that at least it is an indication of the validity of the data. So if you are doing any analysis based on this information, you can also look at the error rate and see, okay, how valid is this data? If it's 95%, if your error rate is at 5%, so you're 95% complete, it's a good indication that the quality, the complexity, and the breadth of technologies, all those metrics that you're looking at, they are actually very close to accurate. The next chart, chart 9, application understanding. This is to help you really understand the code that has very little or no documentation, and really get a good handle on it and be able to understand the relationships across the enterprise. To help in that, just given that enterprises may contain, you know, huge amounts of data, there is the ability to create user-defined groups called applications to limit the scope to an area of interest. So that sort of removes all the noise, and you get to see and really focus in on the items that are of concern to you. There are various types of diagrams, from a program diagram, structure diagram. You have a diagram that shows your distributed assets and how they are related as well, including J2EE. So there are all these different types of diagrams, and they're clickable, so you can drill in deeper and get some more details. So it's a breadth of information that helps you understand what you have very quickly. The other thing it allows you to do is capture information that are in people's heads. Inevitably, you know, any of these analysis tools that you may come across, they cannot possibly gather every bit of information just from analyzing the code itself. There is bound to be information that is dynamic, that cannot be calculated. And this is where the subject matter experts come in. In Asset Analyzer, we provide annotations to capture that knowledge, and some of these categories could be like business function and description, and these are built in, but you could also create your own annotations so it would cater to your business. The other thing that it captures is user-defined relationships. Once again, a lot of things are dynamic, and sometimes we may not be able to capture relationships between two artifacts. That's when a subject matter expert will come in and say, hey, I know that this program A is related to program B, and even though you can't deduce it from the analysis, I know this is true. And so that's where the subject matter expert would go in and create that relationship. And so then it's available in all these visualizations. And last but not least is really to try to get started, and a lot of times to help in reuse as well, is really trying to figure out, okay, I have all this data and I need to search for one little thing. Well, we provide the enterprise-level keyword searches, so you can put in wildcards and really be able to do an enterprise-wide search and some advanced capabilities as well by limiting the scope to user-defined groups and applications like we talked about earlier, or even particular sites, be it on the distributed or on the mainframe. Going to the next chart, chart 10, end-to-end impact analysis. And this, I must say, is the sweet spot for Rational Asset Analyzer. It really helps. Key is to reduce the time to market and reduce the risk of downtime by making sure you understand the impact of the changes you're about to make, but up front, before you actually go about making those changes. So it really reduces the time in the discovery and analysis phases. It helps in determining the scope of the change. If I'm about to change this particular column, how is that going to impact my enterprise? What are the other artifacts that are going to need to be changed because of this? And a lot of times we depend on the subject matter experts on these, right? But either, you know, the subject matter experts may retire or they may move on to other projects. Then how do you capture that information? And how do you not get into the problem of risking and spending countless hours trying to determine the scope without that subject matter expert? Well, Asset Analyzer is the way to do that. You can figure out the scope of change. Moreover, you can also look at the risk of change. Because we detect the lines of code, the lines of comments, the cyclomatic complexity, the Halstead effort, it gives you an idea of how much effort it's going to be, besides knowing the files that need to be changed, but also how complex are the files that will need to be changed. And so then you can either increase or decrease your estimates, your project estimates, based on those as well. Now, one key artifact here is that we will be able to traverse the user-defined relationships to determine the impact across platforms. So if a change is made in a database table that's residing on the mainframe, then how does that impact my J2EE artifacts, and how does that relate back to the mainframe? You will be able to follow those dependencies using impact analysis. And finally, you can create a bill of materials to really give you an idea and be able to communicate the scope of changes and everything that needs to be changed and addressed. Another aspect is the extensible framework. We completely realize that the information that's gathered by Rational Asset Analyzer is rich, and we take our best guess. And in a lot of times with some with some input from customers as well as to what information is really relevant in the work that you're doing. But inevitably there are queries that may make sense to a particular organization that we don't have in our user interface. Well, because we have the extensible framework, we have a published database schema, since everything is stored in DB2, we publish the schema so you can look at the schema of the tables and figure out, okay, what makes most sense to me. So you can create these things called custom queries that can leverage the RAA database as well as any other tables and databases that you may have, and to really put them together and get something valuable out of it. You can optionally even include these custom queries as actions on pages so they can be shared across multiple team members. Another thing you can do now is also create your own Web 2.0 applications and leverage our RESTful interface for Rational Asset Analyzer to leverage that information and include it in your 2.0 applications as well. And there is also the web services interface. This is something that's key as well in different areas, because you may have your own tools and processes that you've built, and you want to leverage a lot of the information from RAA to fit into those processes, and that's where you would use the web services to get the benefit of RAA. Again, another thing is the languages. We try to support as many as we think are important, but again, there will be languages that we may not be able to support, but we have a published import file format where if you have your own parsers, you can parse the file that you're concerned with, create this import file, and then load that into the database. And so this is also all documented in our helps. And so that is one of the other key areas of extensibility. And finally, if there are any other metrics and counts that we do not include today, but you wish to get the information, you can create user-defined metrics and counts as well. Now, here's a quick scenario. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but this is just to demonstrate what it means, how RAA will be deployed in a small group, and this can also extend to large enterprises as well. So let's go to chart 13, because the pictures usually work better for a lot of people. So the first step is a team lead or an admin would get access to a server, install Rational Asset Analyzer and the prerequisites, WAS and DB2 included, load the inventory into there, reduce the error rate to something that's acceptable to them. The team members would then access this information on Rational Asset Analyzer, create their user-defined groups to basically scope down to their area of work. They can then run impact analysis to figure out, these are the changes I'm proposing to make. How does that impact all the other people? And once that's done, then you execute on the changes. And finally, to circle back, the team lead or administrator then refreshes the source code and reruns the scans. So really, there are a few benefits here, right? One, it's you reduce the time for the team to begin on executing these initiatives so they can get up to speed quickly because they may or may not have experience with this application. So it really accelerates the application understanding. The quality is increased by knowing and really sizing and knowing what their changes are going to impact. So make sure that all those areas have been updated and tested. And finally, it increases the level of confidence in estimating the effort as well by the team lead to figure out, okay, how much is it really going to, what's it really going to take to execute on all these changes? And by the way, a lot of these impact analysis queries can be shared across team members. So you can run an impact analysis, or a business analyst can run an impact analysis and then pass that along to a developer and say, or the development manager and say, hey, this is the change that I'm proposing. Do you think that's okay? And it's a good communication mechanism as well. Now, let's move on to Rational Asset Manager. Now, what is Rational Asset Manager? And I know it's Rational Asset Analyzer, Rational Asset Manager. They sound close, but they are two distinct areas. And once you understand the difference between their functionality, even their names start making a lot of sense, and it drives a lot more clarity here. RAM also has a repository, but it's mainly to manage the software development assets, right? So you can create reusable assets in there, and those reusable assets can be anything, whether they're applications, components, patterns, services, you name it. And those assets can be made up of artifacts, and those artifacts can be, and typically you could think of source code as being one artifact, but also how about requirements? How about models and design documents and legal agreements and so on? You know, all those things are considered artifacts that make up an asset. So it really provides the infrastructure to be able to search these assets and be able to govern the development around it and publishing them, making them available, and measuring usage, gathering feedback from the users, and so on. So it's basically a governance process that's built up around assets that you think are important to your business. So the benefits include, reducing software development and operations costs, clearly because if you're reusing code, you are saving time. You can improve quality. Once again, if you're reusing code, this code has probably been tested and it's been approved because it is a published asset in Rational Asset Manager. By transference, it just simply becomes that whatever you're building using these reusable assets are also going to be high quality as well. and it's also integrated with other Rational and other IBM tools. Moving to chart 15, so these are some of the important aspects of governing your assets from development to deployment using Rational Asset Manager. So it's a place to store and organize all your assets and artifacts, right, to be able to search them in a clear and defined way. You customize the workflow and to basically automate the processes of managing that service lifecycle, and that's all automated. Impact assessment. Now, this impact analysis is different than the RAA impact analysis. RAA's impact analysis is at a very technical level. Here, we're talking about any other assets that have been published and that are proven around. And it also has the capability to manage communities, so you can also see which groups are impacted on changes. And finally, you have the audit and report, so you can report on key metrics to support and plan and future assessments. Moving to chart 16. Managing assets within your geographically distributed enterprise. And this is key, again, right, is that you have teams that are distributed globally, and how do you reuse assets in that sort of scenario? And how do you govern the use of it? How do you prove that that these assets are really ready for prime time and ready to be reused? So it's basically addressing that area. That's the asset governance side of things. Broker communication across communities. So you could have, one group, one community putting in a request and saying, hey, we're looking for something like this. And another community says, hey, we've done something like this before. And then it sort of starts off the process of maybe putting that up and publishing it and making that available to any other team. And then there is the advanced reporting to identify the bottlenecks in the delivery of software components. And all these reporting will really help you hone in on areas that are of concern and that need to be addressed as far as the collaboration between distributed teams go. Next chart, chart 17. Reducing risk by automating asset policies. This, again, is very key because generally, you can think of a development process that you need a lot of stakeholders to provide their approval, a lot of analysis that needs to happen. You have the stakeholders who need to approve it, provide input, and there could be times where you must have, say, for example, a license agreement before you can publish an asset and reuse it. So Rational Asset Manager provides a way to automate a lot of these processes and apply policies against these development life cycle. So, for example, you could create these policies that are completely customizable via the policy adapter. And those policies can be executed at any scheduled time that the administrator or the company decides on, whether it is when you're uploading an asset, whether a user is downloading an asset, whether an asset is being updated. So it manages that whole process, and it's all automated to make sure that the right assets are getting published, and therefore you're reducing risk. And chart 18 is a little bit more of the same. It's a very customizable process as well. So it's not something that's predefined and that you have to follow a particular methodology. You can decide what those processes are, when those policies need to run, and managing the roles and controlling the access to different areas of the repository. Now, going into chart 19, I'll talk about Rational Developer for Z. So we've already talked about Asset Analyzer that does a lot of the analysis side of things. We've talked about Rational Asset Manager, that's the governance and reusable and being able to publish those assets for reuse. Now we'll talk about a little bit more with Rational Developer for System Z and Rational Transformation Workbench of how to, once you've understood what you have, to basically transform and create services out of them. And so these are the two tools, but I'll give you an overview of each one of them. So Rational Developer for System Z, it's an Eclipse-based integrated development environment. And it basically helps customers, it really consolidates into one interface almost all aspects of development. So if you're talking about, and across different technologies, so if you're talking in mainframe with COBOL, PL1, you know, high-level assembly language, it's, you know, across the board, it handles those. You can transform from UML to COBOL source. So it's bringing the new modeling methodologies to the mainframe. You can have interactive access into ZOS to do your development, to debugging, stepping through code, and so on, to really help you and make you more productive in the development process and being able to identify bugs. And it's all in the context of one development environment. Now with service-oriented architecture really taking some more grip now in the marketplace, we've also added support in Rational Developer for Z for SOA. So you can enable CICS and IMS backend applications for web services as well very, very quickly. Going to the next chart, chart 20, I'll just touch on a lot of these technologies, but basically you can debug through almost you know, any technology that spans the mainframe. So you have CICS, IMS. So basically using the debugger to debug through this, not just that. Rational Developer for Z is built on the Rational Application Developer technology. And so that includes Webster Application Server development and the J2EE development tools. So you can step through from your mainframe. You can also be debugging your Java and J2EE application and your JSP servlets and so on. And you can set breakpoints really to figure out where the problems may be and then hone in further to fix those bugs. So the key over here is you can debug ZOS and distributed code in the same development environment. And you're stepping between runtime, so you're going from CICS into Webster Application Server, and you're going through all of that seamlessly. The next chart just goes into a little bit more depth on being able to create web services for the System Z runtimes. So you can build, deploy, and test web services from existing applications. You can create services from the bottom up, whether it's an existing code and you want to create services from that. Or you could take an existing WSDL file, so taking a more top-down approach, taking a definition of a service, and then creating skeleton code that you can then fill in with business logic. Using the other functionalities of RDZ. Now that we've talked about Rational Developer for System Z, let's talk about Rational Transformation Workbench. Now, Rational Transformation Workbench is made up of a few components. You have the application analyzer, the application profiler, and the language parser, which are part of the base Rational Transformation Workbench. And this basically gathers a lot of deep-level information, project-level information, and stores it in the Enterprise Application Knowledge Base that's at the center of this graphic that you see on chart 22. You also have a couple of different extensions that build on top of it. You have the Business Rules extension, and you have the Architect extension. And I'll take you into a little bit more depth in these two portions in the next chart. So chart 23, talking about the Business Rules extension. Now, a lot of times you have source code that once again is monolithic. It has all kinds of, whether it's data access, whether it's user interface validation, whether it's business logic itself, it's all intertwined in one one huge file sometimes. So the Rational Transformation Workbench, the Business Rules Extension, really helps you and gives you the tools to discover where the business logic is, and really helps you sift through all that code by providing like a tree view that you can expand and really see where the business logic really is and how you get there. You can also then fill in your own descriptions, whether it's a business description or a technical description of those business rules. You can sort of manage those business rules from there on out and manage change from there on out. So it really gives you some insight into, okay, what is the business logic that really runs my business today? And really helps you pinpoint those areas. The next chart, chart 24, talks about the architect extension that's in Rational Transformation Workbench. I'll break this down into three different areas. One of them is dead code analysis. In a lot of cases, you will see code that is 20, 30 years old, and parts of it are not even accessible. Well, the architect extension will be able to identify what these areas of code are, and also help you remove that, and so simplify your source code, making it easier for subsequent development in that same source code. So you don't always have that that doubt in the back of your mind, hey, you know, if I remove this, is it really going to break something? Or you may actually have to evaluate some more code, the dead code, just to be sure that you're not impacting anything. So this really helps you simplify your logic, remove the dead code first. There are a couple of other key capabilities. One of them is basically reformatting your existing code. So you would take, a paragraph or some lines of code that are in an existing application and create a new component out of it. And that would, in essence, create a new component and a complement from where you removed that. So to make it a little clearer with an example, so say, for example, you have Program A, that is a huge program. You take a piece out of it and create a separate module that say Program C, and you will also get Program B, which is Program A minus the part that's in Program C. So it still gives you a fully functional area. Now that's for refactoring and code slicing in one sense. The second aspect is purely around creating new components from scratch. So if you have a field, say for example discount, you want to create a new component that really has all the calculations that build up to that discount value. And so you can have the architect extension sift through all the code and figure out where the discount was used as a calculation and how it was calculated and create a whole new component for you. So it really is truly helpful in these three areas: dead code identification and removal, code slicing, and also creating new components. Okay, so now I've given you parts of the solution. Now let's go into chart 26, and this is where I'll show you how to put it all together. So with Rational Asset Analyzer is where you would be able to really gain insight into enterprise-wide applications, find dependencies across applications, and really give you an enterprise-wide view rather than just a project-specific view. So it really gives you insight across the enterprise, being able to do impact analysis across the enterprise, and really capturing information from the subject matter experts and downloading their knowledge into a repository. It's really to capture all of that. Rational Asset Manager is to manage, govern, and share and reuse these assets that you really think are important to the business, and really build a development process around it. So with Rational Asset Analyzer, once you know the enterprise-wide view, you can identify and you can say, you know, these applications are really key to us, and I think they can be used across the enterprise, and be it in India or be it in China or be it in the U.S. I think this is a portion of code that's going to be important to all of them. That's when you use Rational Asset Manager to publish that, make it available to them, and handle the infrastructure of, oh, we're updating this asset, let's notify all the people who are using it, and let's build a process around it to make sure that everything is accounted for before making those changes public and being used across the enterprise. Rational Transformation Workbench, like I described to you, is mainly, once you've got the enterprise-wide view with Rational Asset Analyzer, it's to identify, document, manage your business rules, and perform the componentization efforts, whether it's new components, whether it's refactoring code, or it's removing dead code. And last but not the least is the Rational Developer for System Z. Once again, once you've had the enterprise-wide view, you can really hone in on the areas that you that your project needs to work on, and so it can feed into Rational Developer for Z in one sense, where it allows you to scope your work, that these are the artifacts and assets that I need to work on, that need to be investigated for any changes. And also the other way around, if a change comes in and a developer is about to make a change in Rational Developer for System Z, he or she may want to go to Asset Analyzer and really analyze the impact of that change before executing on it and delivering it, to make sure that that they're not going to break anything in the overnight build or at system test time. All right, so moving on to chart 27. So this is where I want to call out some of the synergies. Since Rational Asset Analyzer is a new product, I really did want to call out over here how it fits in and how it really increases and enhances the value of these existing products, Rational Developer for System Z, Rational Asset Manager, and Rational Transformation Workbench. Rational Developer for System Z already on its own provides so many productivity gains, whether it's in development, debugging, creating services, across the board. Now, with Asset Analyzer, you can really couple that with the enterprise-level insight to minimize the time to understand the applications that need to be changed, and also to minimize the risk. So if someone is going to make a change in RDZ, how does that impact the enterprise? You can definitely see some value and really some great value with the two products coupled together. With Rational Asset Manager, you can use Rational Asset Analyzer. Once you have the enterprise-wide view, you can identify the artifacts that are important that you want to share across the enterprise, across your teams that are globally distributed, right? And really identify them, publish them, and make sure you build a process around that so that when the consumers of these assets know that these assets are good, they're published, and that means they're a good quality, and some due diligence has been done before publishing these. And Rational Asset Analyzer also helps in Rational Asset Manager in the sense that once an asset has been published, and a request comes in to change that asset, you could use Rational Asset Analyzer to do a deeper level analysis, to do your due diligence, and make sure that that change is duly considered, and all the impacts are taken into consideration as well. And with Rational Transformation Workbench, of course, you get the enterprise-wide view, first of all, to get an idea of, okay, where are the issues that I have, and then use the key functionality of Transformation Workbench with the business rules and the architect extension to really execute on a project level on a smaller scope. Now, I want to tie this all back to the initial challenges that we talked about, right? So first, the first challenge that we really talked about was no inventory of current assets. Well, Asset Analyzer really helps in that, purely from, you know, whether you're talking from the mainframe side or you're talking on the distributed side of the house. So it gives you an end-to-end inventory of your current assets. The second challenge was islands of development. And again, Asset Analyzer at a technical level is able to bridge that gap and be able to give you the end-to-end view of what is really, what do the enterprise assets look like, be it distributed, be it mainframe, and how do they all hang together. Now, that's at a technical level. Rational Asset Manager provides, a more governance level on top of that to connect, to bridge these gaps as well. So you can see that if there are mainframe assets that are reusable, why shouldn't the distributed side use it? And if it's been published as an asset in Rational Asset Manager, they will be able to use it and be able to call it, and knowing that there is a process, a governance process around it, that will manage the reuse and make sure that those services, those published assets, are of a high quality and really be able to manage the feedback and getting reviews on these assets and being able to share that information across, not just across the different areas, whether distributed or mainframe, but also globally. The last is the lack of governance and reuse, right? And we've addressed that with Rational Asset Manager and also Rational Asset Analyzer being able to do the enterprise-level searches. But more importantly, it's how you get a handle on the assets and really make your enterprise assets more conducive to reuse by using the tools such as Rational Developer for Z and using Rational Transformation Workbench to create and transform your enterprise assets more aligned as services, and then being able to use Rational Asset Manager to govern and make these services available to a geographically distributed team or even that are from different areas, whether it be distributed or mainframe. So it really touches on all three challenges, and together they really address these key challenges. Now, moving on to chart 28. Here I've provided some links to some more information. We have the Enterprise Modernization website, and there you can find links to all the Enterprise Modernization suite of products and get some more information about them. I've included the links for the products that I spoke about as well. And finally, I've included the link for the Enterprise Modernization Sandbox, and that will really allow you to play with products such as Rational Developer for System Z, Rational Transformation Workbench, and Rational Asset Analyzer. It will be published soon, to be able to test it and really play around with it without having to install the whole product. So you have access to the product for 3 hours that's running remotely, and you can just walk through them, and we provide scenarios as well so you don't get lost, and you can follow those scenarios and those lab instructions and see how the product works and really work through some scenarios yourself. All right, so that brings me to the end of my presentation, and I would like to thank you for taking the time and joining me at this call. So now I'll just hand it over to the operator to take some questions from you guys.
Thank you, Raj. Now we'd like to ask that you participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we'll have a live Q&A session with Raj. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. For our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. Or if it was low, press star 3. our second question, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level, press star 1. Not technical enough, press star 2. Or if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. And for our final question, we hope that you'd enjoyed the teleconference. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And we thank you all for your responses. At this time, we'd like to take your questions. If you do have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone at this time. Once again, for any questions, please press star 1. We'll pause for just a moment. And again, that is star 1 for any questions or comments that you may have at this point. And Mr. Deswani, there appear to be no questions at this time. We'll turn the conference back to you for closing remarks.
All right. So once again, thanks everyone for joining today. And I hope that this presentation has given you a good insight at a high level view of how the products really come together and solve some of the key challenges that we're experiencing today with the different types of technologies and in a geographically distributed sort of development environment. So and feel free to contact me directly as well if need be. And hope you guys have a good day.
That does conclude today's IBM teleconference. Have a pleasant day.